12. Cinderman at Leng.
You shouldn't even be here, the woman says.
She's young and looks scared, but there's a defiance in her that is quite impressive. Kirill Cinderman is about to reason with her. She's an archivist, and she's only doing her job, but Mauer just pushes past.
Prefectus,
Mauer says, as though that explains everything.
I'm sorry, the archivist says. I can't allow it. Access to the hall is forbidden. You need permission in writing from the sigillite, and only then to request a volume to be brought from the stacks. You can't...
Have you any idea what's going on out there?
Mauer snarls at her.
Yes, says the archivist. Yes, I do.
Will you display the same measure of defiance to the next person who comes to the door?
Asks Mauer.
Because it will probably be one of the sons of Horus. They're inside the Palatine.
The archivist sags slightly. She's petite, and seems to Cinderman to have been made even smaller by the baggy, insulated coveralls she is required to wear. He's sure she's trying not to cry.
I am Cinderman, he says as gently as he can, authorized by the Praetorian to run the Order of Interrogators. This is Boethark Mauer, chief officer of the Command Prefectus. Do you know what that is?
The archivist shakes her head.
The interrogators and the prefectus are both agencies created to safeguard what might be called the imperial truth, he says. We work to protect the historical and factual essence of what makes us us, what makes the Imperium. We're trying to defend it against the forces invading us. I'm sorry, this is a longer conversation. Am I making any sense to you?
The archivist doesn't answer for a moment. She looks past Cinderman, through the door she opened after their repeated knocking. The plaza beyond is empty and awash with rain. It is a gloom of false twilight in which the ground car they arrived in is barely visible. Every few seconds there is a flash, like the strobe of lightning, which makes everything outside starkly black and white. But it isn't lightning. The archivist murmurs something. Cinderman can't hear her over the hissing spatter of the downpour.
What did you say?
He asks.
I said, what do you want?
We've come, perhaps in vain, on a desperate mission of hope.
Hope?
I believe there is material here that might help us, says Cinderman. Old material, perhaps restricted. Right now, I am sorry to say, anything is worth trying.
I'm only junior,
the archivist says.
Are you alone here? Cinderman asks.
She nods.
Everyone left, she says. I think they've gone to fight. Or hide. And the custodians assigned to guard the hall were all withdrawn, without explanation, about an hour ago.
She looks at her wrist and frowns.
My chron has stopped. About an hour ago, I think.
But you remained at your post?
I didn't know what else to do, she replies. I've worked here all my life.
Open this!
Mauer barks from the other side of the atrium. She's trying to drag open the huge wooden doors, 8 meters tall, that lead into the main collection.
Do you have keys? Cinderman asks the archivist.
She does. She fishes a big ring of passkeys, both old mechanicals and advanced encrypted wafers, from the hip pocket of her coveralls. Cinderman follows her across the atrium. It's a huge space, 4 stories high. The floor is checked with black and white tiles. The roof is a crystal-flex dome, across which night rain swirls. A single immense electroflambeau hangs from the apex of the dome, bathing the atrium in golden light. Cinderman, like Mauer, leaves tracks of muddy rainwater in his wake. Mauer stands back. The woman selects a large brass key and unlocks the paired doors. They step into a vast, gloomy space. The air is soft, warm, climate-controlled. The light is muted and diffuse. They are entering on the 5th floor. Over polished wooden rails, Cinderman can see the 4 galleried levels below. Above, 15 more levels, each stacked and galleried, connected by spiral staircases and portable ladders. The central space is a wide oval. He's never set foot in the Hall of Leng before. It is the palace's most significant library, a priceless collection of artifacts and data that exceeds even the Clanium, the Magistry of Records, the Terran Collection, and the Augustinian Library. It has always been the most restricted.
Where do we start?
Mauer asks. Sinderman shrugs.
This was your idea,
she snaps, and strides away. She starts picking along the nearest stack of shelves, examining spines. Sinderman sighs. He's not sure it was. He starts to follow her.
Perhaps I could help,
the archivist says. He looks at her.
If I knew what you were looking for,
she adds. This war has taken on a new and grim dimension, he says.
Demons,
she asks.
At least that's what people are calling them.
You've seen them? She shakes her head.
I've heard things. I think that's why most people fled.
Well, yes, says Sinderman. The Neverborn. We can't fight them as we fight other things, and throw knows we're barely managing that. But the Hall of Leng is a special collection, is it not?
Yes, sir.
What differentiates it from all the other libraries and archives, even the most confidential, is that it contains forbidden and outlawed material. She nods.
It's said that this is the Lord Emperor's private collection,
she replies.
Not imperial records, but the surviving treasures of old Earth.
You say that as if you're not sure, he says.
Sir, I've worked here for 16 years. It's an honour to serve in such a special place. But I have never looked inside a single book.
Never? But there are millions.
19.6 million, she replies. I care for them. That's the duty of the staff. We monitor the environmental controls, clean, maintain, repair and archive as necessary, and draw selected volumes from the stacks for examination, which is usually for the sigillite or one of his chosen. We don't look at the books.
There seems something distressingly wrong about that, he says.
Not my place to say, she answers. But I can access the catalogue. Perhaps direct you?
Well, good, he says.
So you're looking for what?
The means to fight demons, says Sinderman. Perhaps grimoires, incantations, rites of banishment, treatises of spells. He tails off. He can see the way she's staring at him.
Such things exist here, she says, along with many sacred texts, the testaments and so-called holy books of all the banished and prohibited religions. But, sir, they are all superstitious nonsense. They were written in eras of ignorance and false faith. They are just old words on old pages, empty and meaningless, and they can no more fight demons than I can.
Well, the demons aren't demons, says Sinderman, not in the sense of folklore and supernatural story. I have been aware of them for a long time, since a terrible encounter in a place called the Whisperheads. My knowledge is far from complete, but through careful examination of the ideas I have gathered over the years, I have come to believe that they are the forces of a companion dimension, a warped exoplanar space that conjoins our own material reality. We see them as demons, for that is how our minds make sense of them, and they are certainly dreadful and destructive entities that operate beyond the laws of our reality. But they are not magic. They can be fought. The archivist tilts her head to one side, a moderately sarcastic look on her face.
Good sir, if the demons aren't demons, why would you come here looking for spells to banish them?
Sinderman smiles. Because the spells aren't spells either. My theory, and I confess it is a poor one, which seems to have come upon me as a flash of inspiration from some external source rather than a rationally composed concept, my theory is that this other space, this warped space, has interacted with our own throughout all of history, down through the ages, even to the earliest times.
The phenomena witnessed have had a deep cultural effect. They are the root of all ideas of the supernatural, of demons and spirits, ghosts and devils, and I venture all religions too. Through history, man has encountered the unknown and given it many names, and mankind has learned things about it. A body of law, incomplete, I grant you, that has informed the operation of what we might call magicians.
Magicians, sir?
From the earliest shamans painting on rock walls, to sorcerers and seers, witch doctors and alchemists, prophets and wise women, mediums and priests. They were the lucky ones, or unlucky, I suppose, the very few who glimpsed the otherness. And in their parchments and riddles, and their rituals and their scriptures, they recorded what they knew. Rules, untidy and makeshift rules, ideated for the divination and abjuration of the other. I believe that some, perhaps many, were closer to the truth than they realized. Closer than our dismissal of them, at any rate. Some odd rite or incantation from 15 or 20,000 years ago might, by accident, if you will, retain some power that we can harness as a weapon. The archivist frowns.
That seems unlikely, she says.
I quite agree, says Cinderman. But I am too old and delicate to fight on the walls with a gun, and too mortal to face down an Astartes traitor. This is the only form of fighting I might be suited for. It is desperate, very desperate and probably futile, but I need to do something. And my dear friend the Boathark thinks the same way. So here we are, at your door, begging for help.
I don't know what you'll find, she replies. I fear, sir, your desperation has led your imagination into riot.
Quite right, he says. But I ask you this. What were you doing here?
I was maintaining my post, sir.
Knowing that the first thing to come to the door would probably kill you effortlessly, and that you would not be able to resist in any way?
Yes.
But you keep your post in principle, because it's the thing you know how to do. Cinderman smiles.
I think we are rather alike.
This foolish errand is, perhaps, all I know how to do. But consider. The Hall of Leng, unlike all the other libraries, is forbidden and guarded by custodians. Well, usually. Doesn't that suggest to you there must be something in here of true power? She is about to answer when Mauer's voice echoes to them.
Having a nice chat down there, are you?
They look up. Mauer is already on the gallery above. She leans over the rail and glares down at them.
Listen, she calls out. Listen to this. It says, of man's first disobedience, and the fruit of that forbidden tree, whose mortal taste brought death into the world, and all our woe, with loss of Eden, till one greater man restore us and regains the blissful seat. And then it says, who first taught the chosen seed in the beginning how the heaven and earth rose out of chaos. Does that sound like a spell to you? Some kind of ritual?
It does, says Cinderman.
Hold on, I'm coming up.
She's touching it,
the archivist yelps, pointing at the old book bent open in Mauer's hands across the wooden rail.
She's reading it, and that's not permitted.
Then you'd better come and keep an eye on us, says Cinderman.
Sir,
says the archivist. She regains her composure and starts running after him.
Sir!
He turns to look at her.
What?
He asks.
This idea you have, this notion, where did it come from? Who instructed you to do this?
For a moment, Cinderman remembers the Praetorian speaking to him on the roof garden in the rain. He'd said, find some words. He'd been instructing Cinderman to resume work as a historian, but the sentiment was the same. That, however, was long ago, before the Saturnine assault, and Dawn's words were not what had motivated him to come here. You know, says Cinderman with a shrug, I have no idea.